Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation is from the gospel reading, from St. Matthew's gospel, the Beatitudes, where Jesus speaks these blessings upon blessings on his disciples. Dear friends, it seems to me that All Saints Day is kind of a strange holy day for Lutherans. Now, don't get me wrong. I love All Saints Day. It's one of my very favorite festivals. I think the opportunity to commemorate those faithful who have gone before us, I think is key for us. It's vital to remember that God's promises aren't just something that happened like way back when over there in Bible times, but that God continues to keep his promises that he makes to you and me today. I think as we remember those who have gone before us, we can look and see God's faithfulness here and now. And I love All Saints Day too for its themes. Themes of life and death and resurrection. These things of ultimate concern, of what really matters, as we remember that our entire life is lived before God, and that in life or in death, we belong to the Lord Jesus. And yet, All Saints Day, I think, is still kind of an odd day for us as Lutherans. You know, after all, we don't canonize anybody. And so All Saints Day is kind of a Roman Catholic thing. We don't name our churches, generally speaking, after non-biblical saints. We name them after God, you know, Trinity, Redeemer, things like that. Or, of course, after the biblical saints, like St. Peter, St. Mark, and, of course, St. Paul. But we think of saints, then, I think because we don't normally think about them very much, we put them in as like a Roman Catholic thing for those people over there and not really for us. And so we've not thought very clearly about the saints. And because of this, I think that most of us have a rather distorted view, in fact, of what makes a saint and what a saint is. And so when we think about saints, we have this picture of like this person who's got life like all together. They're this person bigger than life even, someone like Mother Teresa. You know, somebody who served the poor in India, gave up her entire life doing ministry among the oppressed there. Or maybe you think of the recently sainted Bishop Oscar Romero, the one who was assassinated in El Salvador while saying Mass, precisely for his support for the oppressed in El Salvador. Or maybe a little closer to home for Lutherans, maybe you think of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, one who supported the Jews during the Holocaust and who stood up and confessed Christ in front of Hitler and National Socialism. And we think of these people who have it all put together, who have this great life and they've got this great strength within and out of which they give to other people. You know, these saints are the ones who don't need anything for themselves, but rather they continually to give and to serve others, or so we think. But if we come into our text with this kind of an idea of what a saint is, we're going to completely misunderstand Jesus' blessings and words in the Beatitudes. From the Beatitudes of the Sermon on the Mount here, Jesus speaks blessing after blessing. 9 times he says this, blessed are the blank. And over again, Jesus blesses, the saints. And this word, blessed, makarios, or makarios in Greek here, I think it's easily misunderstood for us because it's a lot more theological than the English word blessed. You know, we're used to saying, I'm blessed, everybody's healthy at home, I'm blessed, I've got a great job, that kind of stuff. And so we think of blessed in terms of more like happy, successful. But blessed here in the Beatitudes, this is much more about being saved or redeemed. This is about being truly blessed eternally in the eyes of God. You know, Jesus, he's not just saying these people are happy, successful. He's saying that these are the ones who've been declared to be sons and daughters of God. That is, to be in God's kingdom, to be one of God's own people, to be saved, to be redeemed. So let's think for a moment about what it would mean if a saint was the one who had everything put together and had all the strength and gave out of that to other people who needed nothing for themselves. Think about what kind of blessings we'd expect Jesus to say with that sort of view of the saints. I think it seems to me that we'd expect Jesus to say something like these. Jesus would bless those who have lots of love in their hearts to give others. Jesus would bless those who are giving to the poor and the needy over and over again. we expect Jesus to bless those who are always cheerful, say, have a great attitude all of the time. Those are the saints as we usually think of them, who have it all put together and who need nothing for themselves. But Jesus, here in these words, he doesn't do that kind of thing at all. In the first four Beatitudes, Jesus promises salvation to those who are exactly the opposite of our expectations. The poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. That's not exactly a list of all-stars here. I mean, this is closer to a list of losers, I think. But these, nonetheless, they're the ones that Jesus promises salvation. They're the ones that Jesus promises to be makarios, to be sainted, to be redeemed. The very first pronouncement here is, blessed are the poor in spirit. And this is the one we're going to focus on this morning, because I think it's the key for us to understand the saints and understand Jesus' words here in the Sermon on the Mount. So in our normal problematic way of thinking about the saints, we hear, blessed are the poor in spirit. And we think that the true saints, they're the ones who must go out and do something, achieve some kind of spiritual poverty. You know, they're the ones who give themselves some kind of particularly humble or kind or prayerful mindset. And they somehow or others got themselves into this place to be the poor in spirit. We think then perhaps that we too, with the right achievements or the right attitude, we too could become this kind of poor in spirit. Maybe we'd have to sell everything that we have and give to the poor. Maybe we have to be particularly humble, particularly repentant. Or maybe it's a matter of praying for an hour a day, silent time before God. Maybe it's reading the Bible all the way through every year for 5 years in a row, something like these. If we do the right thing or have the right attitude, then we think we too can achieve the poverty of spirit that Jesus demands. We too can receive the blessing of the saints. But if we think we need to achieve some kind of poverty, friends, we've got these words exactly wrong. Being poor in spirit, that's not something that we perform. Being poor in spirit is not something we become with hard work or some kind of change in attitude. Spiritual poverty is about need. It's about lack. It's not about having. In the words of Jeff Gibbs, the poor in spirit are the, quote, spiritually destitute, without resource, without what they need in the spiritual realm. In other words, the poor in spirit are those who have nothing at all to give out of their own resources. They're the ones who in spiritual matters can do nothing to save themselves and make themselves into saints. And thus Jesus promises the eternal reign of God, the forgiveness of sins and eternal life to those who are spiritually bankrupt, those who have nothing at all to give before God. The poor in spirits, they're like infants who wait helplessly, needing someone else to come and feed them, needing someone else to come and clothe them, need someone else to come and take complete care of them, just waiting on this other. They're the poor in spirit. They're the spiritual infants, the helpless orphans, the weak beggars, who just desperately need help from someone else to come and to save and help them. That other, of course, God himself. And who are these? Of course, it's you. It's me. That's exactly what we confessed this morning when we confessed our sins, when we said that we have sinned against God in thought, word, and deed. And this sin is not just a matter of actions. This goes deep into our hearts, deep into our very beings. You know, the prophet Isaiah says that all of our good deeds even are like dirty rags. This goes deep to our very souls and core. That even the best things we do on our own, they're nothing. In fact, they're actually a lot worse than nothing. Because everything we do that isn't in Jesus Christ, that doesn't follow from his promise and relies on him. Those very best works, the kindest attitudes, the most holy thing we can do from our own strength, those can only offend our Creator. And yet, by nature, by our sinful nature, we keep thinking we can do these good works that's going to please God. By nature, we think we can make ourselves holy. And I think this sinful religious impulse that we have, I think it looks like the times when you and I have thought of ourselves as better than those other people over there. We've all done it. You know, imagine you're walking past a group of people. Maybe they look a little scruffy, perhaps. Maybe it's the tattoos. Maybe it's the clothes that they wear. And you look at them and you think, oh, thank goodness I'm not like those people. Or for you, maybe it's the exact opposite. Maybe it's when you walk by a group of people who are really all put together, wearing some of the nicest, fancy clothing, got the great haircut, and you look at them and you think, oh, thank God I'm not pretentious like those guys over there. Or, I mean, on social media, think of how often this happens there. Anytime a touchy subject comes up, maybe it's sexual orientation, maybe it's politics, and you think, and I mean, we all do this, and we even begin to pray, well, thank God, you know, I'm not gay like those people, or I'm not a homophobe like he or she is. You know, dear friends, we all have these kind of thoughts, but as soon as we put ourselves above others, these are exactly the kind of things that we need to confess. As soon as we think that we have it all put together, and those other people, those are the ones who are really messed up and we're just fine, we are no longer the poor in spirit. Instead, our thoughts say that those other people are in need, where our lives, well, we've got it all taken care of. We've got this holiness stuff kind of figured out. We're self-sufficient, they're in need. And that, well, that's self-justification. That's not Christ's justification. We're trying to make ourselves into saints, at least in our own eyes. In fact, if we think we have it all together and those others are the ones in need, then we are running away from the very promise of Jesus that he wants to give to you. For Jesus doesn't say, blessed are those who've got life figured out. He doesn't say, blessed are those who've got the holiness stuff down. No, he says, blessed are the poor in spirit. And that's the saints. The ones that God himself would call saints are not those who try to achieve sainthood, not those who try to do something to make themselves holy, but rather those who despair of themselves, who despair of their own works, and those who rather look to God in need, knowing that they need everything from him and have nothing to give him out of their own resources at all. You know, true saints, they're the ones who fall down in repentance, confessing the depth of their spiritual emptiness. True saints are the ones who come to the Lord's table as beggars, waiting for the bread, the crumbs from his table, the bread that comes to them from him. True saints, they're the ones who helplessly come to the font, to baptism, as sinners, to be washed by Jesus, to receive his forgiveness. Now, the saints, they're not those who have all together, but rather they are like the parched souls in the desert, those who cry out for desperately for a drink of water. And exactly to these, to those in need, to those who have nothing, those are the ones to whom Jesus offers everything. You know, for our parched souls, Jesus gives us his word, which is the water of life, giving to us, feeding us with the very forgiveness of sins, life and salvation in him. For our hungry spirits, Jesus will put into our hands his own body right here for us to eat, into our lips his own blood for us to drink, that we might receive from him his goodness, his mercy, his blessings. And for our spiritual bankruptcy, well, Jesus says, I'm going to make you rich. And Jesus offers himself his very riches as the Son of God, his life eternal, his forgiveness, his sonship. Everything that he has that is a kingdom of God, he offers to you, and he gives it to you. And that's what he already has given us this morning in the forgiveness of sins, not because we did something, but because he is rich in mercy for you. And that's the kingdom of heaven. It is yours right now in Jesus. And that in Jesus thing is exactly what makes you a saint, even now. The saints, you know, they're not those who have it all together and have everything figured out in life. Rather, the saints are those who have nothing in themselves, and they need everything from Jesus. The saints are those who know that they are sinners, who look to Jesus urgently, knowing they need him for everything, for forgiveness, for life, for salvation. Those are the saints who look to the cross and the resurrection of Jesus. In his famous book, Mere Christianity, so C.S. Lewis, he asked, is Christianity hard or easy? And what he answered was, the Christian way is different. It is harder and easier. And it seems to me we could say the same thing about being saints. I mean, it's different. It's harder and easier. On the one hand, you don't have to become Mother Teresa. You don't have to go to India and serve the poor there to become a saint. You don't have to become Bishop Romero. You can just be you. But on the other hand, being a saint is much, much harder than that. Because you could go to India. You could serve the poor there. That is definitely possible. You could stand up for the oppressed and put yourself in the line of fire where you might be killed. You are able to do that. But those actions wouldn't make you a saint. Being a saint, it's much, much harder than that. It's impossible. You cannot achieve it. Blessed are the poor in spirit, Jesus says. Not those who have achieved things, but those in need of Jesus and his salvation. And this is the good news, I think, that unlocks the key to understanding the saints. For Jesus has achieved your sainthood, just as he did for the faithful who have gone before us. Jesus has accomplished your holiness. It was Jesus who died for you, Jesus who rose for you, Jesus who washed you in the waters of holy baptism, Jesus who fed you by his own body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. You cannot make yourself a saint, and on your own you aren't, but Jesus, he says that you are. And his word is true. His word is more true than even the reality as we experience it. So Jesus declares you holy so that in him you truly are Makarios, truly blessed, truly redeemed, truly a saint. And so live precisely there by faith in Jesus, reflecting this sainthood that you have in Jesus, not by trying to achieve holiness, but rather in humility, not thinking of others as better than yourself, but rather serving them and trusting in this Lord Jesus who won for you sainthood by his work, not by your own. In his name, amen.